Time to run.
The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway, 13.1 edition.
Welcome to episode 3.8 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. How is everybody? I'm out for a walk today on a very blistery, cold day that is a testament to my hatred of the treadmill. When I left the house, it was a balmy 8 degrees. Yeah, I know. But I'm just out for a walk, and I bundled up. My fingertips are a tad cold, but that's okay. So my training, huh? My training has gone very, very well, and I'm actually in that part of my training that's called the recovery period. So last Sunday, just a few days ago, I ran the Jeff Galloway 13.1 half marathon in Atlanta and had a wonderful time. I don't know if y'all remember way back when we started this thing back in sometime in the summer, I guess. Maybe it was even the spring. And I signed up for the Jeff Galloway customized training programs and spoke with Mr. Twiggs, my coach, and told him that I was not interested in running fast. And we got some snow here. You can hear me crunching through some ice. I wasn't interested in running fast. I wanted to run as slow as I needed to stay with friends and to feel really, really good, or as best I could at the end. And that's pretty much exactly what I did. I ran, let me think my pace, 12:30s. My overall pace was 12:30, and it was somewhere around a 2-hour-and-44-minute finish. I came in right behind the 2:45 pace group. I say behind because they broke 2:45. They were just right in front of me. Ran with Katie the whole way, and she, they caught us at about, what was it, Katie? Maybe at 12 miles or something like that. And then by that time, I was slowing down. I'd switched to a 30-30 and was slowing down a little bit just because I was a little bit spooked about cramping up. But anyway, so Katie went on with them and finished, I don't know, probably a minute, 2 minutes faster than me. But anyway, my point is, my race is over. It was perfect. I had a great time. And I'm in the recovery period. And actually, I would say I'm pretty much 100% recovered. I have no remnants from that race, whatever. It's Thursday after the Sunday I ran. So it's like 4 days. I've run once in that time period. And that's really just because our weather around here turned very nasty. Lots of snow. Like I said, cold temperatures. It's 8 degrees. I said that already, but I asked Siri before I started, for you Celsius folks, how cold that was. And her reply was, brr, it's minus 12 degrees Celsius. So yeah, it's that cold. So anyway, what I think I want to say is that the Galloway customized training program for me worked to perfection. And it did exactly what I asked it to do. So this is the second time that I actually followed the Galloway run, walk, run training program almost to a T. I've used it before, but honestly have not adhered 100% to it. I probably adhered 90% this time. And it's the second time I've adhered at least that much. And both times, I got out of it exactly what I asked and what I put back into it. So this stuff works, folks. So let's get to it. In this episode, I had the honor to record a live episode with Jeff at the Jeff Galloway 13.1 Expo. And as well, I had the honor to speak with a very, very special guest that you're going to hear very shortly. So we'll catch up with Jeff. We will check out this special guest I spoke with. And then also, we're going to expand on something that Jeff and I spoke about. We'll get into a little bit more detail about one issue that came up in our discussion with Jeff. So I tracked down Chris Twiggs, and we'll also, after the expo, we'll chat with Chris and get some more detail on that topic. So, all that and more. Let's get to the good stuff, and we'll chat a little bit at the end, huh? Y'all enjoy your extra mile. A lot of familiar faces. Such good-looking people. So welcome. I'd like to welcome you to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition, episode 3.8. And I feel like I had a backup for some of you. Some of you I know, some of you have come a long way and spent some time with us, and I appreciate it. But because we've got a lot more people that aren't in this room that will be listening to what's going on today. So we'll be, Jeff and I will be speaking to you all, but a lot of people that aren't here. So keep that in mind. Some of the topics may not be relevant to someone who's running a half marathon tomorrow. So I just wanted to tee that up. And I feel like I should give a tiny, tiny little bit of an explanation up front about this whole podcast thing. Most of you, I know what a podcast is, but you'd be amazed at how many people have no clue what a podcast is. So from that point, all I'd like to say is that when you're thinking about a podcast, all it is a radio program. So if you've got your favorite program on any topic in the world, let's say, just for the heck of it, for an example, it's Jeff Galloway Run, Walk, Run, right? And they're going to put on a radio show tonight at 8 o'clock. Well, podcast is the same thing with a couple of very, very cool differences. With a radio program, if it's on tonight at 8 o'clock, you better be in your car with a radio or sitting at home in front of a radio, because at 8 o'clock, it's going on, and at 8:30 or 9 o'clock, it's gone. And unless they repeat it, it's gone. Well, a podcast is the same thing. And somebody's making faces in the back of the room. You want to step in? And a podcast is the same thing, except when Jeff and I put the podcast together, we don't air it on a radio show. We upload it to the internet, where seemingly it will be there forever. All right? Now it's up to you to decide when and how you want to listen to a podcast. For example, while you're out running, right? So that's what you've walked into today, the recording of Jeff and I's first live recording of the Extra Mile podcast. This podcast, Jeff and I started 6.5 years ago. So we've been doing this for a long time. I tease Jeff that I'm probably, other than his wife and family, I'm probably the person that he's talked to most over the last 6.5 years. Every 3 to 4 weeks, Jeff and I get together and we chat about run, walk, run. And we never run out of topics. So that's what you've gotten into today. You can go out and get this podcast, subscribe to it, and then use it whenever you feel like using it. All right. Typically, what we do in our podcast is always catch up with Jeff. Jeff, sometimes it's hard to do. Jeff's a busy guy and he's all over the place. But we always bring Jeff up. We always get the lowdown on where he's been, where he's going, because some people aren't lucky enough to be in this room. And I get a lot of emails, where's Jeff going to be? Where's Jeff? And then I get a lot of emails that say, thank you so much, because I touch base with Jeff at the so-and-so marathon and get his advice. Like you all are getting today. So first thing we're going to do is bring up Mr. Galloway, when you read his bio, he is a distance expert runner, distance expert. He is a author, he's a marathoner, and he's my friend. Come on up, Jeff.
Thank you, Kim.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks for joining. So, the first thing we always do in our podcast is catch up. We play something that I call, Where in the World is Jeff Galloway? So, I think the last time we spoke, you were on your way to Pittsburgh for the Pittsburgh Marathon, which is kind of weird because Pittsburgh's not until May. What'd you do in Pittsburgh?
Well, the Pittsburgh Marathon wants to get more people involved, and they realize that Run, Walk, Run is a major way that they can do that because there's an almost unlimited audience among those who have not trained for something that long but could with the Run, Walk, Run. So what they did is invite me in at the beginning of their training season, which then allows for people to hear about it through the publicity and also through the clinics that I gave. And I also did a running school there.
That's in May. You going back for that?
I will.
Oh, good.
Okay.
You and Barb spent some time on an island recently.
We did.
Where'd you go? We were
invited to go to Grand Cayman Island for their marathon and half marathon that was just 6 and 7 days ago this week. I have to admit that I made a strategic calculation blunder, and that was that Barb and I ran the Marine Corps Marathon, and we are running the Walt Disney World Marathon. Well, what we like to do is run a marathon every month because it's a whole lot easier to run a training marathon in a marathon than it is to go out and do it on your own. And as wonderful a companion as Barb is, it's just nice to be able to talk to a lot of different people and have the water catered to you. My friend John Corcoran has that as a phrase. So anyway, we went down there with that intention, and then after looking at what the weather was going to do, we realized that the lows overnight were in the 80s, the lows. That was the lowest that it would ever get. And the humidity, about the lowest it would get would be around 90%. And so we decided that we were going to do the half. And we embraced the half, which means that we, next week, will do our last long run down at our Florida retreat area on the Pine Straw Trails there.
So I assume you take some time off for the holidays, and then you're back at it first of the year. Where are you going first week in January?
Absolutely. Going to Disney World. And as you know, most of you know anyway, I'm the Walt Disney World training consultant, official training consultant. I embrace that role because Disney has really transformed the way that the average person thinks of endurance events. And I hear this all day long at every one of the Disney expos. People come up, they will wait often 10 to 20 minutes to even come up and talk to me, but they explain how the Run, Walk, Run has totally changed their lives. And the only reason that they would even think about starting it is that Disney puts that up on their Run Disney website. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, the folks would be there going to the parks, and they would see these people running by. What the heck is this happening at Disney World? So they look at it, and they see the training programs. And previously, they may have tried to run a mile nonstop and failed. And then they see you only have to run for 10 seconds. Well, I can do that. And they do. And the rest is history. I mean, 5 years later, 10 years later, they're doing all types of amazing things.
Big time. The Walt Disney World, you're heading to the other coast. What's going on out there?
Right after the Walt Disney World big weekend with the marathon half and the Goofy and Dopey, and I by the way, am an original Dopey person, and Barb's known that for a very long time, but I've certified it by joining the Disney Dopey, and I plan to stay being perfect with that this year. But right after that weekend, Disney on the West Coast puts on their Star Wars light side events. And It's only a half marathon. I can't believe I said only, but in any case, it's a half marathon, which after a dopey weekend is piece of cake.
While you're out there, you're doing a retreat, I think, right?
Yes, we'll be having a weekend retreat in Carmel, which is one of our very favorite places to go. We've done that for, this will be our fourth year, and previous 3 years, we've been able to hold every one of our clinics outdoors. The weather at that time of year is simply phenomenal. And anyway, it's great running.
Very good. I've got you down in Alabama after that.
Yes, it's a new race that I will go to for the very first time this year, and it's down in Gulf Shores, Alabama, which is another beautiful place.
Nice.
It's at a time of the year when the weather is usually quite good on the Gulf Coast.
Somewhere between coasts, you're heading to St. Louis, I remember.
Yes, right? As a matter of fact, it's next weekend.
What are you doing in St. Louis? Something different.
Well, my friend Scott, who I've been working with to get some programs going and to train other people, invited me to come up at the initiation of some of the training groups that we will have as Galloway programs. And I will be doing a running school there also, and
nice.
Getting people trained up to do it, and looking forward to meeting the runners of the St. Louis area.
Perfect. Chris Twiggs and I are speaking next week for the podcast as well, and I think we're going to invite Scott to come in for some special stuff that Scott's doing out in St. Louis for you guys. So
good.
Look forward
and
to that.
Of course, Chris is the Galloway personalized training guy. You can have a very inexpensive training, 6-month training coaching session.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of listeners doing it, and me for one.
Good.
Last one I have you down for is the Publix Florida Marathon.
Yes.
You've done that before?
That's in Melbourne. I have done that before, and it's a beautiful course. It winds around the Indian River, and it's a two-loop course. Some people like two loops, some people don't, but it really does give you an option. If you're not having a good day, you can simply bail out at the halfway point, but it is a beautiful course, and I will say that each time I have gone around in that area, I see different things on the course, and that's a beautiful area.
There, I know you're doing one other thing in February, at least one other thing that's very near and dear to your heart, but I'd like to hold that for a second, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, if you don't mind.
Yes.
So, like I said before, we always talk, run, walk, run, and I know none of the folks in here they've all gone through it already, but one of the topics our listeners send in a lot of questions about is the whole taper thing, because we asked these folks back in February to pick a race in the fall, and whether it's a 5K, 10, half, full, whatever, and now most of them are in their taper mode. Some people hate taper, some love it. From a run, walk, run perspective, what is the Jeff Galloway taper include? How long and why do we do it?
I've already gotten quite a few questions about that this weekend at our Jeff Galloway, Barb Galloway weekend here, in that people are either using this race as a stepping stone to other races, and they're getting into another taper, or they want to know whether they're tapering enough or not tapering enough or whatever. And it is my pleasure to say that most people, when I've quizzed them, are doing things right. The bottom line is, during the last 2 to 3 weeks, there's almost nothing you can do to improve your performance. Now, you still need to keep running because you need to maintain. And maintenance is very important. But if you try to work too hard during the last 2 weeks, for sure, it's very likely that you will come in too tired to do the goal that you could. Mm-hmm. And you may even get injured, which a lot of people do if they work too hard within the last 2 weeks. So the idea is minimal. And during the last 2 weeks, the minimum is simply 30 minutes every other day. And that'll get you there.
No more long runs.
No more long runs.
Good. That's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
So for the folks in this room, way more relevant for the folks in this room, they're most likely running a half marathon tomorrow. Is it too late for any advice at all a day before a marathon, or is there anything they can do like right now that'll help them tomorrow in the short run?
Absolutely. There's a lot of advice that can help. And the first bit is that the more you conserve during the first half of tomorrow's wonderful race here in Atlanta, the stronger you will be in the last 3 miles. And the real opportunity there is passing one person after another at the end, which is what most people do if they conserve their resources enough. And the best way to conserve those resources is to make sure that you are having a conservative enough run, walk, run. And if you are, then you're the one that is the passer at the end rather than the passee.
What about advice on packing for this race day checklist kind of stuff?
You'll see a lot of that in my books, actual checklists that you can photocopy or on our website. And there's a whole series of things that in your nervousness you may forget. But if you look at it and then make sure that you have it packed, you will activate your human brain and bypass the monkey brain that's causing that anxiety due to the stress buildup. So you, as Donna said in our clinic right before this, so well, that if you focus, you have control over your thinking, over your attitude, and how you change your brain.
So let's back up a second. Earlier you were telling us where you were going, and I know you're heading somewhere the weekend of February the 10th through the 12th, I believe. Where are you going?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, my two favorite events are this event, Jeff Galloway, Barb Galloway weekend, in the second weekend in December, and the marathon to finish breast cancer that Donna Deegan has inspired and asked me to help out with, and I couldn't agree to it quickly enough. It's just so wonderful, the feeling that you get, because you're just doing a good thing. And most of every cent that comes into that race goes right into research, goes right into care for women that are underserved. And you interact with these folks out on the course all the time. I've never been thanked by more people for coming to an area that I have in going to Jacksonville in mid-February for Donna's race.
Well, why don't we bring Donna up and get some more information about this? Hey, Donna.
Hi.
One of the women that Jeff says can get him to do anything that you want. You know.
I like to hear that.
Welcome. When I read your bio, it says that you are an award-winning journalist, a philanthropist, which I had to practice for a while, and a marathoner. But I'd like you to tell the group and tell our listeners exactly how you got to where you are right now in this spot.
Well, really what started all this for me was a diagnosis of breast cancer, the first of three, back in 1999. I have been a runner for a very long time, and when I decided, while I was on the air, I decided to start. I didn't want to talk about breast cancer all the time on the air. That just seemed, I didn't want it to be about me. Mm-hmm. So I decided to start a blog where I would talk with women about my experience and have them share their experiences with me. And in that blog, I started to hear from a lot of women who were really struggling. They said, you know, we're happy you're doing well, we're praying for you, but at the same time, you should know that I don't have insurance. I don't have a family structure like you do. I don't have a good job. I don't have a way to pay for my critical needs while I'm going through all this. And so we started the Donna Foundation to help with those women, and we raised money by basically selling T-shirts to run various races. And then one day, I was in my little booth at the Jacksonville River Run, and the Gate River Run in Jacksonville. And Jeff had the booth right across from me, and he's a smiling face. You know, Jeff always Mr. Positive. And he came over and he said, "You know, I love what you're doing with that foundation. How would you like to train a bunch of people to run a marathon and use my run walk method and get a bunch of people off the couch and get them running?" Which is just obviously great for so many reasons. And that's really how it all started, Kevin. I mean, he said if we could get 10 people, that would be a great success. Well, we got 86 people that first year, and we raised more than $100,000. And so, you know, Jeff says that you know, oh, I would do what Donna asked me. Let me tell you something. Jeff is just so positive about everything. Mm-hmm. And so when I went to Jeff and I said, you know, Jeff, if we did this well running somebody else's race, what if we started our own? And, oh, sure, yeah, we can do that. Absolutely, that's no problem. You know, I didn't know Jeff just, you know, can do anything, right? I was completely blissfully ignorant about what it took to put on a marathon. But we also enlisted the help of my wonderful doctor at Mayo Clinic and got Mayo Clinic involved, and that's really how it all started. And I'll never forget Jeff on the day of the race. he was as excited as I was when we saw all those people line up at the start line. And, you know, it was incredible race weekend to see the registration numbers, because we left registration open all weekend, go from, you know, 4,000 to 5,000 to 6,000 to almost 7,000 people. And Jeff was like, oh, my gosh, oh, my gosh. It was so fantastic. And and just to see all those people out there with the Galloway Pacers doing the run walk, getting it done and crossing that finish line, feeling so great. There's something amazing about crossing the finish line of a marathon and feeling good when you do it, you know?
Right.
And then also, if you're somebody that's been through a challenge like breast cancer, I mean, there's really a lot of, if you think about, that's a pretty good analogy for what you're going through with, you get through a tough period, like you're, you know, you push through that wall at mile 20, whatever it is, and you get to the finish line, you feel awfully good. And the same thing is true when you go through something difficult in life. So I think it's just, you know, that's how it all started. And here we are 10 years later celebrating our 10th anniversary. So it's pretty amazing.
Very good. So I'd like you to answer a question for me two different ways.
Okay.
Two different angles. Why should anyone listening run the 26.2 with Donna from a perspective of the good that they will do with their entry money and where that money goes? And then secondly, what is different or special about the specific race? Is it the course or the support, that kind of thing? First of all, the money for the entry fee.
Okay.
Where's that go?
Well, the money is split between something we call the Translational Genomics Program at Mayo Clinic, which is simply a program that helps to unravel the genes that cause breast cancer, and the Donna Foundation, which pays for the critical needs of underserved women. So 100% of our raised funds goes to that. So you know your money's going to a good place. Once you get on our list, we give you updates constantly about what's happening with your money and who's being helped by your money and how that money is being spent. So you always know exactly where your money is going. So I would say from a cause perspective, we're not a race with a cause component. We are a race that is a cause. And so you'll feel that. And last year, CNN named us as one of seven marathons in the U.S. that were worth the trip. And one of the main reasons they chose was because of our crowd support. We have this beautiful course that runs right along the seaside. It's absolutely gorgeous. But the entire beaches community through Ponte Vedra and Jacksonville and Neptune and Atlantic Beach, all the way back to Mayo Clinic, it's lined with people who are supporting you and thanking you, as Jeff said, for running. So I'd say the big thing that sets this race apart is that people's hearts are so in it. You know, they know they're doing something good. And plus, they just love having you in Jacksonville. We're not New York City where they're used to having an event a day. You know, it's just, I mean, not there's anything wrong with New York City. It's awesome. But in Jacksonville, people are thrilled to have all these people here doing something so wonderful. So you really will feel very loved and supported while you're there.
Some of us don't run as fast as we used to. How long are we allowed on this course?
The course is open for 7 hours. But as I was explaining to somebody the other day, our rule is, or the rule that the police allowed us to have, is that if somebody's already on the bridge, which is the last 2 miles of the race, the bridge all the way down to the finish line, if you're already on the bridge at the 7 mile mark, they will not pluck you off the bridge. You'll be allowed to cross the bridge and finish. So our last finishers usually finish around 7:45. And usually our last finishers are people that, you know, really, really want to be out there.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's awesome. So
it's a 7 hour, even for the half marathoners?
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a mass start.
There's
zero reason for anyone to at least get into the half.
The 5K and 10K are on Saturday, and then the relay, half marathon, and full marathon are on Sunday, and they all start at the same time. So, I mean, on Sunday, the races start at the same time. So, absolutely. We have a ton of people that walk the half. And a lot of people that actually walk portions of the relay, too. You can get a five-person relay team. So there's really no excuses out there. Jeff will give you the run-walk ratio that works for you, and you can get out there with a Galloway Pacer and get it done.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So Don is like, I keep calling it Donna, like it's the name is Donna. I've heard so many names. What do you call it?
Well, We've taken to calling it Donna Marathon Weekend now because you know, the whole 26.2 with Donna, the National Marathon to Finish Breast Cancer, people just started calling it the Donna. So we just started calling it the Donna. Basically.
Gotcha.
That'll do it.
So, Jeff.
Yes, Kevin.
The Donna is 9 weeks off, right?
Yes.
So I have two questions for you. Anyone who's in this room who is running, who are running tomorrow the half marathon, we have to assume is in shape for a half marathon, right? Because they've
Correct.
Done the plan.
Yes.
They've run a 14-mile run already, right? You've all run
Theoretically.
That.
Theoretically.
Well,
But
you want to ask them to see
it.
If anybody's not done their 14 miler and see if we get anybody? Anyway, so they're all in shape. So I have two questions. Number one, if they want to run the Donna in just 9 weeks, what do they do to stay? If they want to run the half, okay, what do you do between now and then just to stay in half marathon shape?
Well, you count back from the Donna half, and 2 weeks before, you run the 14 miler. 2 weeks before that, a 12 to 12 and a half miler, and subtract 1.5 to 2 miles every 2 weeks back to the present, which means that you're going to be around maybe 8 miles 2 weeks from today.
Right.
And so it allows you to drop down a little bit and then rebuild.
And go back up.
Yeah.
Okay.
In between, you only need to run 30 minutes every other day. Hey, let's face it. Everybody can do that.
That's right. That's right.
Right.
So here's question number two. Suppose I would now want to like to run the full. Is it a bad idea to tell somebody to go in 9 weeks from a half to a full, or can we do that?
It's totally doable, but there needs to be more walking into the run, walk, run. So
okay.
It needs to be more walk, run, walk. And the way that this is accomplished is you would count back 3 weeks before the Donna.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would be the last long run that would be 26 miles. Then you would have 2 weeks, every 2 weeks, you could subtract 3 to 4 miles, and those would be mostly walking. In other words, we shift the whole parameter. Someone has been running for 90 seconds and walking 30. They would do something like 10 seconds run and 30 seconds walk.
Gotcha.
So it really reverses everything, and that's so forgiving that I've had thousands of people now that didn't think that they would be able to be ready to move up to a marathon within 9 or 10 weeks and have been able to do it without any problems.
Right, right. Very good.
And if there are any problems at all, you simply walk the long runs because you will get all the endurance from a long run even if you walk every step of it.
And you got 7 hours, too.
You do.
Right? Very
yep.
good. Very good. The last question I had, and maybe you can help me with this one, before we open it up for some Q&A, if you guys have any of it. I know one of the big talks around here that I've heard at the expo is the weather tomorrow. Do we have anybody that can help us with the weather?
Well,
yeah, Tim?
Well,
come on up.
We should explain.
Let's introduce Tim.
My husband is Tim Deegan. He's a meteorologist for First Coast News in Jacksonville. So he's the chief there, so he probably knows more about weather in Jacksonville, but you can go ahead.
No one ever asked me.
No one ever asked you. So can you tell us about the weather tomorrow, and then if nobody likes it, can we blame you for it?
Well, you can absolutely blame me. That's why I have my running shoes on right now.
Yeah.
Now, Donna tells me I do not have 30 minutes to do an isobaric synoptic scenario.
We don't have a blue screen or whatever.
Okay. No. Okay, so real quick. So I'm assuming, let's say everyone's going to be there by 7 a.m. Assume that. Okay.
Yep.
30 degrees. If you think that's too cold, we both did a half marathon when the dew point was about 70 in Thanksgiving, and so we're digging the fact that it's going to be 30 degrees. I don't know if that helps at all. That's sort of social meteorology there. It's going to be 30 degrees. Wind's going to be calm. Okay. By the time we start, it's going to be maybe 31, 32. For those of you who care about humidity, dew point's going to be about 25, so 5 times 3, that's about 85% relative humidity. Should be nice bright sun. You don't like the bright sun? Hold on, because the clouds will be increasing. Not going to give us rain. So now we're on the course, and you're wondering about the breeze. I think there's going to be an easterly breeze going to pick up to maybe 5 to 10 miles per hour. That means there's going to be a fresh breeze in your face, but I don't think 5 or 10 is too strong. That'll be for the first 4 miles. If that's irritating to you, just be patient. And I'm thinking the course is with wind out of the east. Then once you get to about 4, mostly it's north-south kind of stuff. So once you get past 4, you pretty much won't have a headwind, except maybe at about 7 to 8. Clouds are going to start to increase. You'll have some strata Q coming in from the east. Is that too much?
Yes.
That was it.
Anyhow, so for those of you fasties out there, they're going to break 90 minutes. It'll probably still be in the 30s. For those of you that like to see what pink roses got frozen this morning, maybe 2 hours, it's going to be getting in toward the 40s. Should never get above 50. But it is going to grow. Whereas today, you know, I think even at 11, it was still 39 or 40. Add about 10 degrees to that.
Right.
Very good.
We'll take
Very
it.
Good. Anybody have any questions for anybody up here? Does that mean you have a question or? Yes. You know what? Let me come back there with the mic, if you don't mind, so we can hear.
We're coming in from Lindbergh, and we got on the train. Where do we stop? We got off at this peach tree.
Mm-hmm.
Where does the race start? Because we were lost, finding where to be, all that stuff.
Midtown? Is it Midtown off the train tomorrow morning?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the north exit out of the Midtown station, and that will put you right where the start is. You don't have to cross any streets. You will exit, and you'll be in the staging area.
Good.
Very
Good.
Convenient.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
I've got one for Donna.
Yeah.
Do you still have the primping stations at the end? That was the most awesome thing. Your fifth year, you had L'Oreal put up primping stations at the end of the Donna, so that you could, you know, kind of freshen up because it's all about the picture.
Well, that is true. You know what? I assume that is still there. I'll have to double check for you. I don't know for sure.
I've sold the race so many times.
Okay. Well, then the answer is yes, and I'll make that happen.
Maybe her doing it, but somebody will be there to do it.
Yeah, somebody will be there to do it. I stand at the finish line until the last person crosses. That's my favorite thing. So I can.
Yes,
I can.
You do because I crossed in 6 hours, 14 minutes, and 36 seconds, and you and Tim are both there when I crossed the line.
That's the best. There should be a whole table, you know, book of just people that have crossed and finished lines.
Yeah, exactly. Anything else? I have a question for you. Are you running the race?
Always.
Always.
Yeah.
So tell me about your training. What ratio do you do?
My group right now is doing 130 and 30s.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, I run with her.
But, oh, okay.
But
no, I'm talking about training.
Oh, training. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Okay.
You're talking about the run?
He's
with the fasties.
Yeah.
No, I run with her, though, on that marathon. What I want to point out is she's not telling the whole story, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is more than just a run, especially for her. Donna will run backwards and hug anybody. So although it says 26.2, because I've done this every year with her, we're out there for like 30 miles. So don't let her tell
I was going to say, what's your Garmin say at the end of this? Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know he's with you because I saw a picture of him in a skirt 1 year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that a typical thing now? Or?
Well,
during the race, not at home.
Yeah, no,
I have a whole drawer now. It's actually getting hard because I've got to decide which one to make. Actually, sparkle skirts, is that their name?
Yeah, they're good.
I don't know about you guys. I didn't have so much problem with the skirt as much as I'm used to running with pockets.
Yeah.
And they now have a pocket.
It's awesome. It actually scared me a little last year, Kevin, because, you know, they made a custom skirt for Tim. And he was so excited about this skirt that it was a little
scary.
Worrying. I mean, he was like, oh, my gosh, these pants feel good. These pockets are great. I'm like, okay, hon, that's good.
It's all about the breeze.
Yeah.
Can I mention one other
thing?
We do have one new thing this year for those of you who have been with us before. Because it's our anniversary, we added a 10K, but we also have something new called the Booby Trap Challenge. And so it's a if you haven't seen the medal, go into the expo and look at the medal. It's incredible. It's humongous. Bring yourself a suitcase to carry it with. But if you do the Booby Trap Challenge, that's the 5 and 10K on Saturday, and then either the half or full on Sunday, and you get 4 medals, including that big new Booby Trap Challenge medal. So if any of you are challenge people, that's something you might want to consider doing.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeff, I have one more question for you.
Shoot.
Pertaining to the Jeff Galloway 13.1. Besides all the training and anything else you've spoken about in any of our podcasts, tell me what the mission of this race is.
The main mission is to bring as many people as possible into the awareness that running changes your life for the better. It changes your brain, changes your attitude, and the way you look at life. And to do it in a gentle, supportive way. So we invite the whole world. If people want to run nonstop, that's fine with us, absolutely, because running in any form is going to help you. But we will also provide guidance to be able to get into this method that will help people run until they're 100.
Good. Thank you very much. Anything else? No? Donna, thank you very much. Tim, thanks for, and I don't remember that term for the clouds, but thanks for that.
Strata-Q.
Okay, thank you very much. Jeff, thanks for everything. You got some more?
Thank you. Just one thing that I just remembered, and that is we do have the reduced rates already up on our website for the JG Barb weekend next year. So take a look at it. It's the lowest price you can get. So
perfect.
We'd love to have you commit early and get a huge discount.
Thanks very much. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate
your
time. See you.
Okay, what a great weekend. I'm 2 days after the Jeff Galloway 13.1 half marathon. I'm feeling amazing. I went out about an hour ago for a slow 3.5 miler, and I felt like I had not done any running for the last week, and had a great time and felt great even after the half marathon. And most of that I attribute to my special guest and friend that I have on here with me right now, Mr. Chris Twiggs. Hi, Chris. How are we?
Hey, Kevin. I am doing great. And I got to tell you how exciting it is to hear you say that you have recovered so smoothly from that race. In fact, I'll bet the worst part of it was just thawing out after how cold it turned out to be.
I dealt with the coldness way better than a lot of people did there. It didn't bother me. Actually, it didn't bother me at all, except at the end, you know, when you're very sweaty and then you're not moving around and the wind's blowing a little bit and then you've got that whole, you know, cold wind against your cold clothes. That's not good. But I had originally messed up and looked at the calendar or looked at the weather and thought I was looking at Sunday when I was really looking at Saturday. And Saturday was actually much colder. It was in the mid to high 20s on Saturday morning when those poor folks did the Barb 5K.
Yeah.
I think it might have gotten to about 30 by the start. But on race day, I think the starting temperature was more in the mid to high 30s. And so I was perfectly – it just turned out great for me. So
that is awesome. Did I mention it's 76 here in Florida right now?
I'm looking out my window and we've got about an inch of snow and it's coming down like crazy right now. But
wow.
Trust me, if I were to ask my kids when they get home from school if they'd rather go to the beach or play in the snow, at least right now they'd rather play in the snow, but touche, I will say to you.
Yeah, well, I get it. Those are fun times. Well, good. Well, congratulations
to you
and to everyone listening on finishing the JG 13.1, whether they did it there in Atlanta with you or if they did it at home as a virtual run. Just congratulations. It's a neat celebration of running and of fitness and of this great lifestyle that we all share. So congratulations. I'm excited for everyone. I'm feeding off of that energy.
Thank you very much. And before we get off the topic of my run, you were kind enough to put together a schedule for me, a training schedule for the customized training programs. And what I told you from day one that I wanted out of this was not to become faster. I did not want to run this race faster. What I did not like, the only thing I didn't like about the last two half marathons was the way I felt at the finish. And that was totally on me. I was trained enough to run 13.1. I was not trained enough to run 13.1 and feel very good at the end of that. And that's what the plan was that you put together for me. And from that perspective, it was spot on. I walked back to the hotel about a mile and a half, I guess, after that race. And, you know, it was a tiny bit tight, as you would be anywhere. But, you know, I stretched a little bit. I felt – and then the rest of the day, I was fine. Last year, I was cramping up and was looking for spots in the sidewalk where I wouldn't have to, you know, walk over curbs and things like that. So thank you.
Wow. Well, you're welcome. I am excited that it worked for you. You know, you deserve the credit because you stuck to the schedule and made all of those things happen. However, I do have to point something out that's a little bit disappointing. I'm looking at your final surge schedule right here, mm-hmm. the schedule that I put up for you for customized. And here's the problem. It ended on Sunday. You have nothing scheduled from yesterday on. So what's going on with that?
I have no goal. I guess I got to pick a goal first before, because I couldn't very well send you anything and say, sign me up if I got nothing to point at, you know?
Well, it helps. It helps to have a goal. That's true. But we should know what we're doing no matter what. If you don't have any sort of plan, then, you know, how are you going to know if you're achieving your goals?
Well, before we get off that topic, that brings up my very, very first question, actually. What typically, Jeff and I spoke about the taper for this, mm-hmm. for this, episode, because I knew that, you know, we had a much larger audience than the folks that were just in that room with us. And some of those folks, had yet to finish and were in the taper mode. But what we did not discuss was the week or 2 weeks after our goal race, whether it's a half marathon or a marathon. Typically what, you know, I don't have another plan. So my plan, you know, it is not ongoing right now, but if it were, what would you say for someone who just finished a half marathon or a marathon for the week after? Did I do something wrong by going out to run today just a couple days after?
No, you didn't. I mean, in fact, I think what I heard you say, if it wasn't here, it might have been some other way I heard, maybe through something you posted or put on the Facebook group, but you did a lot of walking.
I did.
Afterwards. And that's the best thing to do, is to keep walking, you know, do some extra walking that day, do some extra walking the next day. If you feel like jogging some the next day, that's great to do a little 3 to 4 mile run, walk, or jog. That's fine. But if you don't feel like it, there's no necessity to. You're going to hold on to the fitness, the endurance, and the strength that you put into that half marathon. You're going to hold on to that for a couple of weeks. So you've actually, this is why it's good that people say, I'm sure you've heard of the 48-hour rule, that when you finish a marathon or a half marathon, wait 48 hours before you decide what you're going to do next. Or if you say you're never going to do another one of those, as some people do, you know, wait 48 hours and it's fine. You've actually got a good week and a half before you need to decide, am I going to keep increasing my mileage, or am I going to let my mileage go down, or what? And it's typically for a half marathon, it's the run that you do 2 weeks later that sort of sets the tone for what's coming up next. If that run 2 weeks later it could be a real good drop down because you're going to drop down in distance. It could be something like a magic mile because you're going to reset the clock and start training for something new, or it could be an increase in distance by a little bit because you're going on to train for another half marathon or some other event.
Gotcha. The highlight of the discussion, the recording of the extra mile that we did at the expo for me was when we had Donna Deegan come up and speak with us for a while. And when we were finished, not only did I really, really want to run the Donna half, actually, but I could tell a lot of people in the room did. And I'm guessing that there's quite a few listeners who are intrigued with that race. And if not, I think it's probably only because they haven't dug into that race enough, which maybe should be something for another episode. But for those of us who are intrigued with running the Donna, which is on the, what is it, the 12th maybe of February? Is that the date?
Yes,
yes,
that's right.
February the 12th, 2017. We spoke a little bit with Jeff about the fact that everyone in that room and a lot of people listening right now to this episode are in shape right now to run a half marathon because of what we've all done for the last 8, 10, 12 weeks, whatever it's been. So I had two questions for him, and he kind of summarized the answers, but I'd like to get into a little more detail with you if I could. Question one was, I'm already in shape today for a half marathon. I want to stay in that shape and run a half marathon at the Donna on February the 12th. Now, from Jeff's perspective, he did go over it, but he kind of summarized it. Can you and I get into a little bit more detail, but not yet, not so much detail that we may confuse the listeners and ask them to get a calendar out and point with them? So that's my first question. I'm in shape today. I want to run for a half. I want to run that half on the 12th. Tell me, I've got 8 weeks, I believe, if we're assuming that we're listening somewhere around December the 18th, which is Sunday coming up.
Okay. So if we're assuming people, first of all, again, you're in that grace period after running the half marathon. So you don't have to worry about bumping up your mileage or doing anything like that right away. So if people are listening to this and a full week has gone by since the JG, that's fine. If they ran at all this past weekend, they only needed to do 4 or 5 miles and just whatever would be a good recovery run for them. And then what they need to do is start building. They can drop back their mileage some and then start building again, just like we did on our way to the JG 13.1. And what you want to do is target a 14-mile long run 2 weeks before the Donna. And then 2 weeks before that would be your 12-miler, and 2 weeks before that would be your 10-miler. And that takes us to a little bit after the people listening to this will hear. They'll actually have one more a short run that they could do. And then, you know, they don't have to get out their calendar for me to know that that puts them with a 10-miler right about the first of the year, the December 31st, January 1st, that weekend. So anybody that feels like doing a 10-miler that first weekend of the year is on track already to make the half happen at Donna February 12th.
Very cool. Let's move on to question number two that Jeff touched upon as well. Suppose they've gotten bitten by the marathon bug and now want to go from half marathon shape to marathon shape for the Donna in just 8 weeks. What does that look like?
Well, it looks pretty similar because you've got those two short weekends that you can do after the half marathon, and then what they would do again that same weekend, that December 31st, January 1st, a good New Year's resolution type of run, mm-hmm. is they need to get themselves up to a longer distance so that they're going to be in shape and ready to do a 26-mile long run that would be 3 weeks before the marathon. One of the key points about Galloway training and going back to Jeff's first book that I can remember reading ages and ages ago was the 26-mile long run as the longest training run prior to the marathon. So we target that run to be either 3 or 4 weeks before the marathon. In this case, because we're a little bit short on time, it would need to be 3 weeks before the Donna. And so back up 3 weeks from that, and that gives us the New Year's weekend. And so we would want to do 23 miles on that day. And the way we would do it is to walk for 10 miles and then do your run walk just like you did in the half marathon. You would do your run walk for 13 miles. You could do that slower. You certainly wouldn't run the 13 like you were running a race. At the very least, you'd go down to your long run pace, but you could go even slower than that. The idea is just to get 23 miles in, and by walking the first 10 and then doing run walk for the distance that your body has most recently done, which is 13, then you're able to get the full 23 miler in, very little risk of injury. You could walk the whole thing if you wanted to, and you'd have that endurance. And then that sets your clock on your body to say, this is the distance that I know how to do, this 23 miles. And now the next time you call on it to go 3 miles farther, the 26, it's not that big of a stretch. And of course, you do that as a training run 3 weeks before Donna, so that when you do it in the race, it's an easier experience. And frankly, it's all about looking better for the finish line picture. And so if you've already done a 26-mile long run, you're going to feel better when those photographers are out there snapping photos.
Okay, so I'm trying to digest all of this. This is very, very similar to what our friend Bethany did, with the exception that, that this plan has an extra week, not an extra week, a few weeks, but an extra long run built in there that she didn't have.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't have time with Bethany to get a 26-mile long run in. And so what she had to do is she was doing a half marathon. And so she did her 10 mile walk, and then she did the half marathon. That was her 23. And so the first time she went 26 for that training cycle was in the marathon itself, but she had done a marathon before. So it wasn't the first time she had ever gone 26. But it was not a, you know, people that were listening will remember she backed us into a corner, because not only did she have to finish that marathon, but it was going to be a PR for her just to finish it under the cutoff. So there's another feather in the cap of races like Donna, where you've got that extra hour, you've got 7 hours to finish that race. So that's a much better situation to be in.
So right now, let's say I did a 14 miler for the Jeff Galloway 13.1, and I used, just for the heck of, let's say I used 60/30s. But I did a bunch of magic miles, and I know what that said I should do. So I have that data. I don't have any data to figure out what the 10 mile walk plus the 13 and then the 26 mile or even the marathon. How do I know what the heck I should do? What ratio,
well,
of pace?
Yeah. So, everything, all that we do in terms of setting paces and setting ratios really is a result of the magic mile information. And you don't want to use the same magic mile information that you had back for that half marathon, because you already went through that training cycle. You are, you're stronger, faster, better looking than you were when you started that. And so now we're going to do another magic mile, but you wouldn't do it the week right after the half marathon. You want to use that for recovery. So 2 weeks after the half marathon, which would put you, the weekend coming up for people listening to this most likely. So Christmas weekend, sneak out 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, one of those days, sneak out and do a magic mile. It's nice to do it as part of at least a 3 mile run, so you can kind of warm up a little bit for a mile. But do that magic mile and then use that magic mile time to do the math on it. Multiply that magic mile times 1.3. That tells you the best possible marathon time you could expect to get. These people that are in the boat that we're talking about shouldn't really worry about that so much, because you're going to be doing Donna for fun if you've decided to do it kind of last minute. But what that does do is, once you get that long run or that predicted marathon pace, you can add 2 minutes to that, and that gives you your long run pace. And that's an important pace to know, because most injuries that happen, if they're going to happen on a long run, they're going to happen because people ran that long run too fast. So doing a magic mile before, you know, the week before you do that 10-mile walk plus 13-mile run walk will tell you what is the fastest safe pace to do for that 13-mile segment. And that way you know not to go any faster than that. Even if you feel good, don't let yourself go any faster than that long run pace on that run, and then certainly on the 26 miler as well.
Now it makes sense to me. Jeff always says that the magic mile, and you say this as well, the magic mile is a good predictor of what you could do if you have done all the other stuff, not just the magic mile. So, and you're not doing all the other stuff in this scenario.
No. We're not. I mean,
we
don't have time. We're saying there is a way for people that, and believe me, Kevin, I have listened to Donna Deegan talk so many times, and that woman has gotten me to do all sorts of things, you know, including help to organize a marathon for 10 years that I never thought that I would ever get involved in helping with. So, she's persuasive. So I know if you spent time in person with her, I know she's got you thinking about doing her race. And so what we're talking about is for those people that have said, by golly, I'm going to go to Jacksonville, I'm going to run that marathon. there is a way to do it. We can get you to the finish line, but we're not talking about people that are going for personal records, and we're not talking about people that are trying to qualify for Boston under these circumstances. For those sorts of things, you would want more time to build up slowly to the distance and get in all the speed work and the tempo runs and all those things that you were doing getting ready for the JG.
Right, right. So I have a big favor to ask of you. We spoke about this kind of generically and hopefully, but in way more detail than Jeff and I spoke about this. Some folks may still be confused until they put this to paper and look at it. Can I ask you to put a schedule together that shows the dates and for people that just want to look at something and add it to their own calendars?
Of course. That's what I do all day long. I write schedules and help people figure out how to plan for races. So I'd be happy to do that. And I'll send it to you and you can share it with all the listeners.
Great. I'll add a link to that in the show notes. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. One request is there is one request that I have, and that's that anyone who is listening to this and gets that schedule and uses it to come down and has decided to come down and run the marathon in Jacksonville, I want them to find me. I'm going to be all over the place at the expo for the Donna. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the Pacers booth. People will ask around to folks and they'll know where to find me, but I want them to hunt me down and tell me that they did this because I'll be so excited to hear that they did. And, in fact, I just now decided that one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to have a little special gift that I'm going to carry around with me for the first five people that find me at Donna. Don't lie. Don't tell me, if you were already planning, if you're already training for the marathon, don't take the glory away from somebody, but somebody who's using this schedule to transition from the JG to the Donna and do the marathon, come and find me marathon weekend. And for those first five people that do that, I'll have a little gift for you.
Sounds great. You know what? That reminds me of two things. I ran with three. I didn't run with them during the race, but I three people, maybe even four from the Extra Mile meetup who tried the pacer groups for the Jeff Galloway for the first time.
Great.
And had nothing but amazing things to say about them at the end. So
good.
Kudos to your group that you had there for the JG. And
well, thank you.
And one even said she didn't think she'd run another one unless they had some pace groups.
Well, then they can come down to 26.2 with Donna because we've got pacers, Galloway pacers for the half marathon and the marathon there. So and we're just so excited. And a lot of them are the same people that were there in Atlanta that were pacing that half marathon will be coming down. But of course, because we've got the added element of the marathon, we've got a whole other set of pacers that hadn't made the trip up to Atlanta or weren't running as pacers that weekend. So come. It's a lot of fun, and we want everybody to be there, especially since this is the 10th anniversary of that event.
Right. Last question for you. One of the things Jeff touched upon when we do our Where in the World is Jeff Galloway deal in the podcast was a trip he was making actually very recently, I think coming up next week, I believe, to St. Louis because of some new things that are going on in St. Louis that you're looking to expand elsewhere. Can I get any more detail out of you than I got out of Jeff? What's going on in St. Louis that is unique?
Well, I tell you, there is going to be a kickoff for our St. Louis Galloway program there, and that's nice. That's not unique. We have kickoffs for all of our programs. But what is nice about that is that we've been wanting to have a Galloway program in St. Louis for years, and we're really excited that we're finally going to have one there. And they've actually been they kind of had a soft opening. They've been doing some getting started training, but this will be the kickoff for their half marathon training. But one thing that is unique in the Galloway world in St. Louis, but hopefully it won't be unique there forever or for long, is that we have our first Galloway personal trainer. His name is Scott, and Scott is certified through us to work with individuals to help them with their running goals that might be slightly different from what the training program is doing. So, for example, the training program may be doing training for the half marathon, but there's one or two people that actually want to do a marathon, and so they need extra help. Scott is certified to work with them one-on-one or in a small group to give them the additional help that they need. Or as the training goes on and there are people that want to do the goal race with the group, but they've missed too much and they can't work in with the group runs right away, Scott can work with them to get them up to speed and up to distance. He'll also be able to help people in that area who have specific time goals, qualifying for Boston or meeting a certain time. He'll be able to work with them and write up schedules that will help them with their speed work and things like that. So it's really an exciting thing. And Scott's been working on this certification with us for at least 6 months. And in fact, it may have even gone back further than that. And so, as I said, he's the first of our Galloway personal trainers. We're really excited about his enthusiasm for Galloway. He was there in Atlanta doing the JG, and he'll be down at Disney. He'll be one of our Galloway pacers for the half marathon at Disney Marathon weekend coming up in a couple of weeks. And so we're excited for him. We're excited for the stuff he's doing. And if people are listening to this and they're in St. Louis, they can go to our list of cities page on jeffgalloway.com. And when you pull up the list of all the cities where we have Galloway programs, you'll see the St. Louis Galloway program listed, but you'll also see Scott listed separately for Galloway personal training. And so it's neat. And another example, I don't want to take up too much time, but another example would be for someone in that area that can't do a long run on the same day that the group meets, but they need assistance for that sort of thing. So it's a good niche to fill. We're excited that St. Louis is the first city to benefit from this, but we have other cities where we're going to have Galloway personal trainers soon. And, often we do get inquiries from people who want to help, but don't want the responsibility of working with a whole group, a big group like you have for a regular Galloway program. So this is a good avenue for those folks to channel their enthusiasm, and we give them the training that they need to do it the right way.
Very good. I had the pleasure of meeting Scott while I was down there, and, he even helped out and was the photographer, the official photographer for our meetup with Jeff on Saturday. So he can multitask. He can do a lot of things. So I'm sure he'll do a great job at this as well.
I have no doubt that he will. I've been pleased to get to know him. And as I said, we've been working on his certification now for quite a long time. Not that it shouldn't. It will not take all of the subsequent Galloway personal trainers quite so long to do the certification, but we were really building this program around Scott and how we wanted this to work. And Jeff has been very much hands-on involved in making all that happen. So, yeah, great. I'm glad you got to meet him. It's a good opportunity. So Jeff will be in St. Louis meeting with him and helping kick off that program. And then he goes over to – I'm sure he told you he's going over to Lawrence – the next day and is going to be doing, they're actually doing a virtual JG 13.1 on Sunday the 18th in Lawrence, Kansas. And so that's kind of a neat thing. And we've got a few other virtual events that are happening, some that Jeff will get to and some that that are just going to happen without him. But we certainly are encouraging people to continue to do their virtual runs if they weren't able to go to Atlanta for the actual race.
Yeah, they got through the end of the year, and it's good to hear Jeff's going to do that because I'm sure he doesn't have the medal or the t-shirt yet either, so he's got to get that in before the end of the year, huh?
I've got to remind him of that.
Exactly.
I've got to remind him, you haven't earned that yet.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, now that I think about it, I'm not going to be the one that reminds him of that.
No, I can remind him. He doesn't sign my paycheck. You probably shouldn't.
Yeah, at least until he signs my paycheck this month, I'll let it go.
Well, I think I've got – that's all I've got for you today, Chris. I appreciate it. Send me that master schedule. I'll link that in the show notes. to today. So any of you who got bitten by the bug, then please download this thing and make sure you grab Chris down there somewhere. He is all over the place, or he will be all over the place, and he's got a special little gift. Do not wait until race day, because Chris is going to be pacing the what group, Chris?
I don't know. Do you know, last year I didn't run as a pacer because Amanda Napolitano, who's the executive director of that race, told me she thought I put too much pressure on myself by making myself a pacer, so I should. But then the reality was, by not being a pacer, I put more pressure on myself to try to run it faster. So I probably will run maybe with the either the 3:45 or the 4-hour group at breast cancer, just to keep myself from trying to go too fast. So
yeah. Too fast. That'd be too fast for me.
it's a lot of fun to be involved in that race, and I have a pleasure of getting to organize the pace groups. And for example, we're doing pace groups at the Disney Marathon and Half Marathon coming up, and I specifically didn't assign myself to a group so that if there's an emergency and a pacer has to drop out, I can jump in that spot.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I would hate to be assigned to something and not be able to make that change.
Right. Well, that's all I have. I appreciate it, Chris, for your time.
And, thanks, Kevin.
Let's chat again very soon, huh?
Yes, let's do. And I've enjoyed this talk. And I would say that you made, made my day a little brighter. But the truth is, it's 70, so 77 now, and bright, full sunshine. But anyway, yes, great talking with you, and look forward to the next time.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
Bye now.
Well, there you go. The Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition, episode 3.8. All good stuff, huh? So, we come to the end of yet another Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway Edition, huh? Now, we realize that some of you still have your races to finish yet. Not all of you ran the Jeff Galloway with us this past weekend or ran your races on the same weekend. So please keep in touch. Let us know how your race went. And if you're still interested in getting involved in a half or even a 5K, just a quick note that the Jeff Galloway 13.1 virtual race is still open, and all you have to do is register and run a 13.1 course anywhere before April the 3rd of 2017, and you'll get all the swag and get credit for the race just like all of us did. It's only $49, by the way. I looked that up before I left today. It's pretty cheap, I think, for virtual. And before I get off the topic of the 13.1, the 2017 edition of the Jeff Galloway 13.1 is now open for registration. And from today until January the 6th of 2017, you can enter for $49. No kidding, $49. I say enter, and if for some reason something happens, you can't join us, swap it and change it to a virtual and just run it that way. Ask my buddy JD if that doesn't work, huh? You know, life gets in the way. Anyway, please make note, if you're going to try that, you need to enter the registration code of RACEJG17. That's all one word, RACEJG17, right? $49. Do it, please. And before I forget, if any of you have given any thought at all to getting into the 26.2 with Donna in February from our discussion earlier today, please let me know. Please let us all know. We'd love to follow your training, see how things are going. And as far as the training schedule that Chris Twiggs and I spoke about, Chris was kind enough to put together a detailed schedule that shows, I think it begins on December the 18th, Sunday, and goes all the way up until race day of the Donna. everything you should be doing if you're going to do the half or the full. So I will put that link in the show notes today. And if you were bitten by that Donna bug, let me know, will you please? In addition, I got several updates from folks who were kind enough to join all of us at the 13.1 in Atlanta last weekend. And I'm going to add those to the other podcast, the Extra Mile podcast. Race updates tend to fit into that podcast a little better than the format of this one. So if you're interested in some specifics about what folks really thought of that race, some reviews before you sign up yourself for $49, by the way, head over to the website, subscribe to the Extra Mile, and hear what those folks have to say as well. So that brings us to the end. And with that, the question of what is next for the Extra Mile podcast, Jeff Galloway edition? Well, I'm not sure. Jeff and I have been doing some brainstorming with no final results yet. So if you all have any suggestions on what you'd like to see Jeff do with this podcast, please let us know. Before I let you out of here, I'd like to give a very special thanks to Coach Chris Twiggs for all of his help today, as well as all the other episodes he's helped us with. Of course, special thank you to Donna Deegan for being a good sport and joining the episode today as well. And of course, Mr. Galloway, who, I gotta tell you, for somebody who is as busy as Jeff is so accessible to this podcast that it boggles the mind. So, Jeff, thanks for everything you do for this podcast. And of course, I'd like to thank you, because we wouldn't be doing this without all of our friends downloading and following along on this journey. So, once again, thanks for the last couple hours of your life and all you do for the podcast. We appreciate it. And I'd like to close by saying, no matter what holiday you may celebrate, whether that's Christmas, Hanukkah, or any other seasonal holiday, I would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas from my family to yours. Please have a very safe New Year. And until the next time, stay in touch, will you? And you all enjoy your extra mile.
And so this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, a new one just begun. And so this is Christmas, I hope you had fun.
Cratchit coming late. That was the thing that he had his heart set upon.
And he did it. Yes, he did it.
The clock struck 9. No Bob.
A quarter past.
No Bob.
He was full 80 minutes and a half behind his time. Scrooge sat with his door wide open
that he might see him coming to the tank.
His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pin, as if he was trying to take over 9 o'clock.
Hello?
Growled Scrooge in his accustomed voice, as near as he can feign it.
What do you mean, coming here this time of day?
I'm very sorry, sir, Bob said. I am behind my time.
You are,
repeated Scrooge.
Yes, I think you are. Step this way, sir, if you please.
It's only once a year, sir.
repeated, Bob.
Appearing from the tank.
It shall not be repeated. I was making Rattle meal yesterday, so.
Now I'll tell you what, my friend,
said Scrooge.
I am not going to stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore,
he continued leaping from his stool and giving Bob such a dink in the waistcoat that he stumbled back into the tank again.
And therefore, I'm about to raise your salary.
Bob trembled and got a little nearer to the ruler. He got a momentary idea by knocking Scrooge down with it.
A Merry Christmas, Bob,
said Scrooge with eagerness.
A Merry Christmas, Bob, my good fellow. A Merry Christmas, Bob, my good fellow. Then I have given you for many a year a raise your salary and endeavor to assist your struggling family. And we will discuss your affairs this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl, a smoky bishop. Bob, make up the fires and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was the second father.
He became a good friend, a good master, and as good a man as the good old city knew.
And it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well.
If any man alive possessed the knowledge,
may that truly be said of us, and all of us.
And so, as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone! Merry Christmas, friend!
Connor,
Kennedy,
McCartney.
So good.
Joining us on the Extra Mile Podcast Galloway Edition. Please visit our website at www.thegalloway-extramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show at thegalloway-extramile@gmail.com. If you would like to send us your audio comments about the show or have questions about Run Walk Run, please send an audio file to thegalloway-extramile@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks very much for downloading the show, and we look forward to joining you again soon on the next edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Galloway Edition.